Hi, and welcome back to the Mob Mentality Show. I am Chris Lucian, and this is my co-host, Austin Chadwick. And we are here to talk about vulnerability. Let's bring it over.
Yeah.
So, Austin, do you have any initial thoughts on vulnerability in this paradigm?
Yeah, and so it sounds very touchy-feely, and why are we talking about this in a product development or software or agile show? But I've come to discover it's really key to innovation in general and just having great teams is that for ideas to really get out there, you have to be vulnerable with what you know and don't know, right? And one of the first things that comes to mind is just from experience, the great way to get it going in a group is to be vulnerable yourself. You know, you need to kind of lead by example and be... You know, you have to use different tact in different situations how you say it, but basically say like, oh, I don't know what that is when someone makes a suggestion. Like, oh, let's do the XYZ framework to this code. You're like, what is XYZ? I don't know what that is, you know, and it's just showing your own vulnerability in that it's okay to do that. It's okay to not know. It's okay to come to the edges of your knowledge, right? And and once you have that example, others can start following that. And so that when people are being vulnerable, it can really accelerate learning. Instead of us pretending to know things and no one really knows what the other person's saying, so you can't really get feedback to that, we're both putting it all out there on what we know and don't know, and then we have the most information to make the best decision for the team.
Mm-hmm. And one one strategy that I've used in the past is to actually just lay out on the table everything that I don't know about the current situation, but talk about what I do know so far.
Right.
Right. And so that might be, okay, well, I know where we're going with this. I know the proposed architecture, except for this piece. And this is where I think we need to either come to a shared understanding or something along those lines. There are a lot, there's ways to kind of boil it down. But I think, you know, what's the opposite of being vulnerable is to push away any notion that you don't know. Right. Or even just anything that you might, say exposes some weakness at all, right? And so, but that weakness is valuable because what will happen is if everybody does that in the group, then you'll have a result of people exploring those areas of weakness in order to make them stronger, right?
Yeah.
Where if you pretended like there is no weakness there, then what ends up happening is it'll catch the team off guard or it'll cost a lot of time or effort or something along those lines. And so it also helps the team storm faster, right?
Like, yeah.
And so a big piece of the storming, forming, norming thing is to be able to work through differences quickly. And if you are guarded and you pretend like you know everything when you don't, or something along those lines, or just cover your areas that you feel would be vulnerable to expose, then what'll end up happening over time is everybody in the group will adopt that. And so no one will be willing to volunteer an idea that might be thought of as stupid or something like that, right? And so having vulnerability will reduce the amount of perception management that happens. And reducing that perception management will allow for feedback to flow more freely.
Correct, yeah, right? Most definitely. And one thing that kind of helps me get over the barrier of being vulnerable is something I learned from the classical education community is like, the more you know, the more you don't know. And so the analogy that was given was like a flashlight. You know, so you shine the flashlight on the wall and let's say the light is what you know. The less you know, the less you know you don't know, which is like the circumference of the circle. And the more the light, the more you know, the circumference grows, but that also shows that you become more aware of the things you don't know as the circumference grows on the light. And so it's actually the more you know, the more aware you are of the things you don't know and the more opportunities you have to be vulnerable. And so it's kind of like the opposite of what most people think, where, you know, the Five Dysfunctions of the Team book talks about like the anti-pattern of don't let people see you sweat. This is like the opposite of it. Like, I'm sweating, check it out, you know? And that can really help accelerate the knowledge of the team, which can then help accelerate better decisions and preventing errors and those kind of things.
I think ultimately vulnerability is a prerequisite to psychological safety, and psychological safety is that environment that we would strive for, right? And so if you're on your journey to wanting to have a psychologically safe team, vulnerability is on that path.
Like, sure.
You need to go explore what it means to be vulnerable on your team before getting to psychological safety.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So one follow-up question for you, Chris, is that we were having this discussion on vulnerability the other day with some team members is, are there times and places to say it differently when you be vulnerable in different ways? Yeah. For example, scenario A is you're with your team or your mob and everyone feels really comfortable. How would you express you don't know versus you're in front of stakeholders or an executive?
So
giving a presentation, you know.
Yeah, and kind of like a small, I guess, rule of thumb that I'd propose is this idea that you want to evaluate the knowledge gap and also the training gap, and then be respectful of people's time, right? And so it might be okay to just run into a situation and say, I don't know anything about this. Can you explain it all to me? But if there's documentation or videos or ways to get up to speed other than that interaction, it may be good in certain situations to evaluate that material first and then bring it up. And I use the example of the website, Let Me Google That For You, right? It's the exact maybe anti-pattern of being like overly like, I just don't know things, right? And so it's you have a family member that doesn't know anything about a certain situation, and they could have easily Googled it, but then they ask you for advice anyway, just because rather than Googling it, right? And so the Let Me Google It For You site just does like a very punchy kind of like, it creates an animation of a mouse clicking over to Google and typing it in and stuff. So it's pretty funny, but you should check it out. But I think it's exactly that, right? If you put anybody in a situation where they feel like, hey, let me Google that for you, that can be a risk, right? Because then you don't appear to be respectful of their time. And so that's one thing that I think came out of that, is just this idea of saying, okay, has this person had to have, you know, did this person have to document this anywhere, and have I read that documentation? And then have I done everything that I can to move my knowledge forward in a time sensitive way? And then evaluate that knowledge gap. And then, because that vulnerability, I think, is best utilized when everybody's on their learning edge or their teaching edge, right? And so, and I kind of get that statement from Willem and Diana Larson in the learning stages. And what it means is essentially like you're at the edge of your knowledge for learning, and maybe the person who's teaching information is teaching stuff that they haven't had to repeat a lot. And at that point, everybody's interested and invested in that growth, and that's where the vulnerability can really help things move forward. And I think the anti-pattern is just basically you need to have kindness, consideration, and respect before the vulnerability, trust, and appreciation stuff really has the value that it could. Mm. And so maximizing that value, you go in that direction.
Yeah, because nothing would kill vulnerability on a team other than not being kind when someone is vulnerable, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, being respectful of people's time, right? If you're saying, I don't know that, and people are thinking, well, why didn't you look that up in the obvious location, right? Then that appears to be disrespectful, right? And things like that. So there's definitely nuances to it, but when you're on the team and everybody understands, you know, maybe you've gone through storming, forming, norming a little bit, and you're in that situation where everybody roughly understands where everybody's knowledge areas are, that's a really great place to be vulnerable, because it's easy to move that forward. And then you want to just evaluate the relative safety, right? Like the whole purpose of perception management is to make sure that you're not in a situation that can cause harm to your self-image or others around you. And so my suggestion is always start with vulnerability. And then because what will happen is it'll expose anybody that will take advantage of that vulnerability quickly. And so that'll be a very inexpensive failure. But if you hold on to it for a long time and then expose a vulnerability, and you thought that maybe somebody was more trustworthy in those situations, then that might be a more expensive failure for on the side of vulnerability.
So you want to fail fast with tech, but also
with vulnerability. Yeah, you want to just basically start with vulnerability and just say, like, you know, there are peers in my organization that I talk to, and I start out with vulnerability. I just say, hey, these are the things that I don't know. I trust you to understand those things and share knowledge with me on those things. And one thing that I look for right away is, does anybody take advantage of that, right? Or do they use it for good? And usually I keep track of that in my head. And that has proven to be very valuable on where, you know, because you ultimately may need perception management, especially in large organizations, but you can definitely evaluate where that perception management needs to come in and where it doesn't, and you don't want it, right? Perception management in general is bad, and it prevents psychological safety from forming. And so I think the key takeaway there is, you know, fail fast, fail often on evaluating where perception management is actually needed, because a lot of people just go through their careers, you know, tightening.
Assuming you need it everywhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And basically developing a thick skin, and that ultimately inhibits their ability to be on a productive and a highly productive team.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so I think, kind of going off of that, one practical example is on a mob I was on recently, we needed help from others often. And so we did retrospective with those, we called them gurus, our mob, and then those gurus. And we came up with a working agreement, which was basically, we'll research for, I think it was up to two rotations on our mob timer. And then after that, we can ask for help. You know, so we'll do the research, we'll inspect the pipeline, we'll inspect the code, and we'll put in some cycles on trying to learn on our own to be respectful of their time. And then we'll be like, all right, this is where the edge of our knowledge is. Can you help bridge the gap so we can get this card done? And then also on, you know, after you failed fast and found where you can be vulnerable and where you can't, you know, so where you can be completely vulnerable, you can just say like I don't know, you know what I mean? Explain, you know, and in a respectful way for that environment. And then the places where you don't know, I've found it helpful to rephrase it as like, oh, that's a great question, we'll investigating it back to you, kind of thing, as opposed to, you know, exposing it to someone who hasn't shown to be trustworthy or whatever, right? And so,
And you know, again, it's going to be, you can show that you've been respectful of their time, and you can show, you can phrase it in such a way that it's not just outwardly saying, I don't know, but it is something that's like, okay, well, we can continue to be respectful of your time. But it is okay to start off the relationship with vulnerability and just saying like, you know, this is what I do know and this is what I don't know. And I'm just starting new to the team, or this is my first interaction with this system. And that can anchor your whole relationship, where you might say, oh, I already know about that. You know, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And then, you know, you hide the fact of what you do and don't know. That can also anchor your relationship, right? And so you can start out, if you start out with basically a protected, you know, an impression managed relationship, they will reflect the same thing.
Yeah.
And if you start off with vulnerability, they may reflect the same thing.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you want it as a risk reward factor, it's always better to start the relationship with vulnerability than it is to start the relationship with perception management.
Yeah. And then you can look for ways to iterate on it, right? Mm-hmm. So ones that haven't gone so well, you look for small things to run to try to step that relationship in the next direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to close out vulnerability and lead by example, would you be vulnerable and confess, you know, something to the mob? I mean, have you ever stolen a pencil, or did you take some post-its from work and take it home with you?
It's when I work on my video games, sometimes I don't write unit tests.
I don't know if I'm going to be respectful of that vulnerability, Chris. Yeah. That one really hurts.
So maybe you can reciprocate. Is there anything that you can be vulnerable with?
Dang it, you're not supposed to turn this around on me. For a while, I did not do CI/CD pipelines at all.
Okay.
I would do deployments manually.
Okay, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that on the show.
Yeah. And I was okay with it. I was like, this is fine. You know?
And actually, you know, to bounce off of that, that is, you know, the first 4 years of mob programming at where we are, we did manual deployments, but and we reached daily releases with no bugs, and yeah. So yeah, there's definitely a grade to it, and yeah. And admitting that is important too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, and until next time, like and subscribe on YouTube, and we'd love comments and feedback on Twitter. Have a good one.
Have a great one.